I don't believe it exists. Yeah, you cannot anti-age.
You can't. You realize that it all, it comes at you from all sides.
And it comes at you fast.
Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This is, anyway.
The best thing we can do, I think, at our age is just dim the lights and make sure everyone has a healthy serving of wine.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's my strategy.
That's how I smear Vaseline on the lens in reality.
Yeah.
Dim lighting, booze.
Right.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I want to kick off with advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice, hence advice on advice. So this is from one of our favorites, Carolyn Hacks from the Washington Post. And she's, the title is Hubby, which I hate. It's like Whoopi. You know what I mean? Making Whoopi.
Making Whoopi.
Hubby,
make Whoopi. Mm.
Hubby wants to go on a week-long hike with a woman he met online. Right?
Ooh.
Dear Carolyn.
Okay.
My husband and I are apparently, now you know there's beef when apparently comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently at very different points as to the shape of opposite gender friendships take.
Okay.
He is an avid hardcore hiker.
Yeah.
He met a woman, and in parentheses, also married, on a hiking forum, and wants to take a week-long hiking trip with her to an extremely isolated location.
Yeah.
Woo! Ahuga. He says that since there's nothing there between them,
mm-hmm.
it's fine to take a trip like this. I feel uncomfortable and think it's weird to take an extended, super isolated trip. This woman loves a double-barreled, super isolated trip with an opposite-gender friend.
Okay.
I've never met this woman. I probably never will. And she lives across the country. So this isn't a pal whom I know and who knows me. Thoughts.
Oh.
Sign drawing lines.
Easy. He goes.
This is a... Okay.
If he's a power hiker, if he's like one of these extreme hikers,
yep.
and he needs to go and hike...
And hike.
...with somebody of his caliber...
Yes.
...who gives
That's what
app.
I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Do you want to go?
So the clue is avid hardcore hiker. You're 100% right. This is someone who wants to do like a trail.
Yeah.
That's going to be like over days. They're going to be camping. And,
do you want to do that?
Yeah,
no.
No. Drawing lines, Carolyn Hacks, right? Make sure it's not the Appalachian Trail. Well, that's pretty long. What would bother me the most is that my husband put me in this position to begin with. Maybe it's all the most innocent progression ever from the moment they laid pixels on each other. But he's asking for such an outsized degree of trust in a way that you can't win. So you say no. Wow. And if you say no, you're possessive, jealous, and distrustful. If you say yes, you're a rube.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree
with it totally.
If I presented it to him that way and he didn't see my point, then I'd start thinking about what we owe each other in the form of comfort versus trust. Should trust be absolute or can logic come to bear? In this case, on his assertion that there's nothing between them, they don't know that yet because they don't know each other. Really?
Mm.
There's nothing between a lot of people of me who I have never met, and there's never going to be anything between me and them. You know what I mean? Like, this is assuming that this man cannot control his feelings. If he wanted to have an affair, he could probably think of an easier way to do it than to go on to tell his wife he's going on an isolated hiking trip.
Right. And then to take a trip and hope for an affair and then be shot down on day two and then have to hike
and then
for the next 5 days.
Continuing on the Appalachian, the next 1,000 miles, just like with blue balls.
Yeah.
Or blue avocados, as we learned earlier.
Yes.
Avocado being a Native American word for balls.
Right.
They don't know that yet because they don't know each other, not in person. And you haven't seen them together yourself, obviously, which is the way people figure out whether they feel comfortable or threatened. He's flying blind and pushing you too far. No fair.
I totally disagree. He goes.
Yeah.
He is a hardcore hiker.
He's a hardcore hiker.
And
that's
so
what they
is
do.
She, and that's what they need to do. You need somebody, you want somebody who is going to know what they're doing on the trail to keep them safe.
Because you need to have trust. And like you're saying, you need to have a level of expertise of what to do.
Yeah.
I really don't see, because I'm not an adventurer myself, but I love reading about outdoor activities like this, hiking and alpinism and all that kind of stuff. it seems like it's usually mixed gender, and it's based on the performance of the person.
And I get very annoyed. I this is one of my pet peeves, too.
Go for it. What really grinds my ears?
The whole male and female. If you put a woman near any man, my God, they're going to do it. No.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
And who's to say, like, if you don't put a guy with him, that they're not going to bone down?
I like your style. You're 100% right. Yeah. They might be like, you know, I didn't know I was bi until I went on this trip.
Yeah. It could be anybody. But the idea, oh my gosh, there's a woman near my man.
Yeah. They're gonna Mike Pence style. I can't hike with a woman.
Yes, yes.
My avocado might get all over her.
Yeah.
So also, too, do you not have any trust in your partner?
Yeah. And be happy. You're supposed to support your partner. Yeah, and doing their thing. Not hold them back. Not
if you're, them I like your first thing, though. Like, if you're really that concerned about it, like, you're not going to go hiking, then what? Should he never, he can only go hiking with a bunch of dudes?
Yeah. Or a that's dude? Even worse. Because that, then that's weird. Who knows what they're going to get up to?
They might be more dangerous.
Yeah. And guys, kind of like taking care of guys doesn't
really matter. Egging each other on, maybe.
Yeah. And trying to outdo each other. Yeah.
So someone wrote, a liberal married guy wrote, hiker wife should express interest in going along. The husband's reaction would tell a lot. As a liberal guy married 30 years, I'd never ask even remotely similar of my wife for the reasons expressed here. I travel internationally with married and unmarried women other than my wife. I take business-related meals, lunches, dinners, with alcohol in moderation. You can't get drunk with a woman? Yeah. I'm sorry, but I've worked in a lot of different places. I have gone out before with male colleagues and gotten shit-faced, and nothing happens.
Yes.
You're colleagues. Whatever.
Again,
but he says here, nothing untoward has ever happened, but I'd never take a social-only trip or a meal alone with another woman.
Why?
Why?
You know what? You have to open up your definition of a friend. You have to understand that not everybody wants to get in your pants.
Yeah.
And start looking at people as human beings and not just as a conquest. And
my wife wouldn't with another man. Hiker hubby is not being cool.
And stop thinking like everybody wants to get with you.
Yeah, because and your don't. Husband.
Yeah, nobody wants your husband.
Here's another person, anonymous.
Nobody wants your beat-up old husband.
Nobody wants him. Another person writes, they just put anonymous. My husband has a female best friend. She's also a dear friend of mine, and he and I talk about everything, and I trust them implicitly. He also has other female friends I have no problem with him spending time alone with. I'd still be upset if he said he wanted to spend a week alone in a remote location with a woman I'd never met and probably never would. Really? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I feel more secure than these people do in my relationships, but I think it's perfectly fine if this is what the person does.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going to a couple's resort for a week with a totally random person.
This is
someone he's met on maybe Outside Magazine, and they have like an online blog, and maybe they're high level hikers, and they're really excited to do this trip, and nobody else wants to do it.
Yeah,
so they're doing it.
God.
So bizarre. I say boo to that advice.
Boo.
I would say that you need to really think about the level of trust that's happening in your relationship. This is your concern.
Yeah.
It's a week. Wow. Ugh. Bizarre. All right, what do you have?
Barnyard News.
All right, so Barnyard News is going to do where we report on animals in the barnyard and animals out. Basically animals.
Mm-hmm. Animals.
Regardless of barnyard status.
Right, right. This is about fire ants and the flood in Houston.
Yo!
You may have seen this in the news.
They get a lot of press, these ants.
Yeah, these fire ants, they make themselves, in the case of a flood, they make themselves into a raft and they float.
Who goes on the bottom? Like, how does that work? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people who are like, I'll just take one for the team. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess there's a hierarchy, and then they know exactly where they're supposed to be on this raft.
Wow. I was like, Francesca was a wonderful aunt. She laid down her little aunt life.
And so, and there are these giant rafts of fire ants.
Like, what's giant? Like, how big?
I would say several feet. What did they say here?
Wow.
Yeah.
Several feet of fire ants?
Yeah.
Man, talk about swimming away from something.
When faced with the flood, this is how they do it. When faced with the flood, they emerge from the soil and form a floating raft by linking their bodies together.
I like how is it coordinated? I want music.
Rafts made up of as many 8,000 ants have been observed.
8,000?
The ants' ability to trap air pockets make them buoyant. And for the submerged ants at the bottom of the raft, they provide a source of oxygen.
Oh, so they funnel the air down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So, and it is wise for people traversing flooded areas in rowboats to avoid touching.
Yeah, because they'll get on you.
Yeah, because they will climb up.
I would hope so.
And into the boat.
Yeah. Can you imagine 8,000 ants at once? Yeah. You can't stop them.
Yeah, they'll climb up your oar. Yeah. Don't even poke at it. Yeah, because they'll climb right up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. You see it swim away. Mm-hmm. Because they will climb up on your head.
Yeah, if you see one of these rafts and it comes in contact with you, or if you try to break it apart, it will likely disperse and crawl up.
Who would try to break ants apart?
People will do anything.
The same jackasses who were shooting into the hurricane, supposedly.
Oh, God.
That's not a real story, is it? That's got to be a Snopes.
I refuse
to believe, no matter how ridiculously troglodyte-like you might be, that you would not shoot into the wind thinking that would do anything. It can't be. It can't be.
You know what?
I refuse to believe it.
If it was conceived,
Yeah, right. If I can say it, it's happened. Yes. Probably.
Yes. All right. So there's an effective way to sink these rafts.
Why?
I know. It's like, why are you doing that? But
I cheer them on. Give me an F.
Well, if it was floating into your house.
True.
Then
you need
to do something about it. So it's
gasoline.
My house, yours, situation. Spray them with soapy water.
And then what?
According to them, biodegradable liquid dishwashing detergent can be used by emergency personnel to deal with these floating fire ants.
Wow. What if they separated into two rafts and were like, flank them?
yeah, you're done.
What if they spell out F-U? U-B.
Fire ants.
Yes.
Yes.
Unite.
God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I know that the hurricane is obviously a horrible thing because of the destruction of property and, you know, the damage to humans and human life. But all the stuff about the animals is fascinating, like what they do during a hurricane. So speaking of which, I found this, and at first I didn't believe it, but then when I read up on it a little more, I was like, this kind of makes sense, if I can find it. Go ahead. You had something?
No,
segueing?
No, lay it on me.
Okay, I'm laying it on you.
On us all.
Are you trying the other? Katie and I bought some Sweet Heat, a Starburst, and a Skittles to try out.
Yeah.
And they were not that fantastic.
No, they were sweet, and then a little bit of, like a pepper.
Like pepper was on it. And we said that if we were eating this in a darkened theater, we'd probably spit it out.
Yeah.
Because we would think it was off.
Yeah.
So here's another piece of follow-up to your barnyard news. This is about Harvey the Hurricane Hawk. They shouldn't have called this hawk Harvey because it's actually female, but whatever.
It's gotta be a guy.
Apparently she became an internet star after she flew into William Brusso's taxicab in Houston. It's a Cooper's Hawk, and she flew into this car, apparently, to escape the storm.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. So, and I saw there's a video of the hawk in this guy's cab, and he's like, get out. Please leave. And the hawk is just sitting there like, dude, have you seen outside? Like, you get out, basically. So now there's a happy ending, I'll tell you already. Harvey is going to live out the rest of her days at Oak Point Park in Plano, Texas, which is a nature preserve.
Good.
So basically, he spotted this guy. Brusso spotted the hawk while he was parked, and he got up to take a picture. As he was adjusting his camera, a cat ran by and spooked the hawk, and the hawk flew into his cab and landed into the passenger seat.
All right.
So he was freaked out because he was afraid he was going to get arrested, because apparently under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, it's illegal to capture this kind of hawk. Mm. So he was like, I don't want any part of this. But the hawk refused to leave the car.
Aren't there bigger things going on than him being arrested for this hawk?
But, I mean, maybe he's like a nature lover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's like, shit, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just taking a picture, now I've got this hawk on me, I don't want to get busted. So he couldn't get the hawk out of his car. Obviously, he didn't want to touch it. So he just drove home. He left the window open. He tried to coax it out. The bird was, like, not having it.
It's like, I need a rest.
So the storm, this was right before the storm hit. So this bird was obviously seeking a refuge. So eventually the storm came. So he took the bird home, and he put it in his apartment. The bird sat by the liquor cabinet. He kept the doors and the windows open, hoping the damn thing would go out. But it refused to, because it was hiding from the storm. Plus, probably some good booze.
Yeah.
In there.
It's like, you have some Cuervo right here. Yes, right. Where am I? You want me to go?
So Brusso said he and his friend rode out the storm with the door open, the hawk in the corner, and some. They had some liquor, some fine party liquor. while it was going on. He said that the Texas Wildlife Rehabilitation Coalition reached out to him because they saw he posted something on social media, and they came to get the bird 2 days later. They took the bird to Plano, which is 250 miles north of Houston, and they rehabbed the bird. The bird was just freaked out and tired. Mm-hmm. They said normally a bird like this anywhere near a person would just mercilessly attack them.
Yes.
But yeah. they said that during things like hurricanes and major storms, animals change their behavior. And they're like, look, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
And this guy looks all right. He's got a car.
Right. He's got, I got the snacks.
Bourbon.
Liquor cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the animals do have common sense.
Yeah.
Like we're all living and we're all trying to survive what's going
but
on.
But it's kind of like those things that you see it's in cartoons when there's like a forest fire or something and all the animals are running together. No one has time to eat anybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, let's get out of here. I'll eat you later.
Yeah.
Like when the forest fire or the storm is over.
The sun comes out, I'm going to peck out your eyes.
Yeah. So the guy apparently was very moved by this animal. He actually went to the center where they took the animal to see the animal be released. And he said he was like teary eyed. And he said it was very emotional. And he said he felt bad because a lot of people lost their lives, but this hawk survived. And so she can go and do what hawks do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was grateful for that. But he said that during the storm, he was in such survival mode that he was just like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm getting myself to save this bird, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, his whole demeanor changed during the time of the hurricane. And he said, in hindsight, it seemed like it was a kind of a magical thing that happened to him.
That is. It was.
The video is weird. It's literally this guy in his car, like, in the driver's seat. The bird's in the passenger seat. And he's like, come on, like, go. Please, you know. I'm going to get a rest, you know, like that kind of thing. And the bird is looking at him just like, look, dude, no,
mm-mm.
I'm not leaving. It's fascinating.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know.
In less exciting news.
that's how you pitch your segment.
I went to lunch at a restaurant that is on a pier on the water.
Oh, which one?
The Frying Pan.
Oh, the Frying Pan. I remember that. The first time Greg and I went out to the Frying Pan, it wasn't a legit place to go. There were just kind of people like canoodling in the corner.
Yeah.
And it was BYO. But now it's legit.
Now it's legit.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a boat.
Yeah.
Something that appears.
It's not like, that big, people. So you can, it's big, but it's not so big that you can't feel the water moving.
Right. You feel the waves going up and down.
It's authentic.
So we sat there having a glass of wine and a little hummus and pita, and the birds will come right up to your
table.
Are you
serious?
They come right up.
They're aggressive.
Sat on the chair. And so I took some pita and I put it on the table right in
front of
me.
That's why they came.
Yeah.
They're like, finally.
Yeah. It didn't take too long for the bird to, you know, pop over and grab the pita.
And the hummus as well?
Not the hummus.
Okay. They're not down for that.
No, they wanted the...
Pro tip, bread only.
Hooray. A beautiful little bird sitting there. It was neat to sit there with the bird on it.
The problem is that over time, they're going to become more and more aggressive. They're going to want some rosé.
Yeah.
They're going to want some seed.
They're going to stay away from my rosé.
They're going to want more, you know, more to eat besides. They're going to pick up the pita next time and just throw it in the water.
Good.
And then come back and look at you.
Yeah.
Be like, is that all you got?
I thought about that and I was like, I can't wait for that to happen. I wanted to sit on my shoulder the next time.
Really?
Look at me.
It's going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Have you considered highlights?
Yeah. Right.
So we always talk about the robo-apocalypse. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's on, I'm saying, based on this article. This is so scary. I'm just going to... Swarm robots will usher in the age of task-agnostic hardware design.
No.
So...
What is this?
So a team from the Free University of Brussels has made a robot capable... robots capable of working together to make a larger robot.
No!
So they're creating a swarm, basically. In order to accomplish this task, the robots must collaborate autonomously and elect one of their own as a leader.
Mm.
Based on what? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of, this is, sounds almost like the Rat Kings
mm-hmm.
of the subways.
Once combined, the merged robots will actually share the equivalent of a single brain. And a single robotic nervous system.
Like
this
that.
Sounds like the Borg. I don't like this at all. No. It says, by adopting a modular approach, robots with different capabilities, shapes, and sizes could, in theory, construct and reconfigure themselves as required, says the authors of a paper on mergeable robots. So they're basically creating a swarm. The effect of the swarm is achieved with minimum of program instructions. It mimics powerful yet simply elegant rules that govern swarm behavior and flocks of birds or schools of fish. And I wrote, and mobs.
Yeah.
This is mob mentality. So I feel like you don't know what this thing is going to do. They are programming over 1,000 of these kilobots. They're small. They look like they're the size of maybe a fist or maybe a little bit smaller. They call them kilobots. And 1,000 that can move in unison.
I don't like the word kill being in conjunction with a robot.
They're going to move in unison and make patterns and shapes. I guess like the Olympics, like the opening ceremony. I don't know.
Well, if they have a little streamer that they dance with, then that's okay.
They worship dear leader while they're doing it. Guess who's using this already?
Who?
The military.
Of course.
There were dozens or hundreds of small unmanned systems will work together in unison because they say they'll be hard to thwart. Of course they are. They said it's easy to imagine swarms of carpenter ant-like robots. Well, we just talked about
the fire ants.
The fire ants and what they will do. They're saying we could imagine swarms of carpenter ant robots building houses quickly and cheaply. Not when there's unions, you won't. They will smash those with their boots so fast. It says the big problem here. Now, I think the big problem is that this is the end of days. But this is the big problem the researchers have to overcome was how a collective system would be controlled once it's operating as a single entity.
Yes.
Really?
Because now it is... it's something totally different. Yep. It doesn't have to play by your rules.
Yep. It says the robots, this is a quote, the robots we present can merge to form larger bodies with a single centralized controller and then split into separate bodies with independent controllers. They can self-heal. Right? So you could never destroy these things. You could never catch them all and destroy them by removing or replacing malfunctioning body parts. The work takes us closer to robots that can autonomously change their size, form, and function. I call this shapeshifters. You fools!
Yes.
You fools!
It's happening. Hey, overlords.
Yeah.
It's Jaquetta and Katie, your friends.
Yes. Really?
How's it going? I just want to put that out there, because when they review the human race...
Yeah. We are okay with you guys. We supported you from the beginning. It sounds like we're reporting you as evil, but, you know...
just kind of like, we're interested.
We're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Where is Boston Dynamics on all of this? Where are you guys? Mm. Now they're our only hope.
I
used to fear them. Now I'm like, bring those guys back. They're probably like, see, y'all shouldn't have been talking about us like that.
Right, exactly.
You're on your own.
And Google is going to be...
Good luck.
Know, Boston Dynamics is a company that, if you don't know, listeners, is they design robots.
Yeah.
And Google bought them and then got rid of them because it was too weird.
These guys might be our only hope. Maybe their weird-looking goose robot can gobble up all these things. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it could be used for. So, yeah, these are little tiny robots that are soon going to be operating as a swarm. They can make other robots. They're self-healing. They can break up. I don't know how this is going to... I'm imagining, like, mice.
Yeah.
You know how you can never catch all the mice?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always one.
You're always going to be a little robot.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you take down the Christmas tree and you find the pine needles.
Exactly.
It's always going to be a robot. Be
that, except these pine needles want to kill.
Yeah.
They want to kill all humans.
I saw the news today. They did a report on the driverless cars.
Okay.
Which I think is a great idea.
I think it's a good idea, too.
And
because we do a very bad job of driving cars.
Yeah.
We're dangerous.
There's a place in Michigan that has the whole course where this giant
they set
up
like a town or something.
Yeah. And they have people that are cued to walk the street. Walk across the street.
Really?
Cue
the elderly.
Yeah, and see if the car senses them.
Cue a nun with a baby carriage.
Yeah, right.
It's a Mel Brooks film.
But the reporter's in the passenger seat, and there is an actual driver there, doing the interview, but the car is driving itself.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, keep your hands on the wheel anyway.
Yeah, and she's just like, the reporter
is freaked out.
And
then they set a good person for it, though, because I think that's an accurate...
Yeah, like, exactly, because it's like nobody is handling stopping the car.
Yeah. I would turn into the worst backseat driver, passenger seat driver ever. I would constantly be looking at the wheel.
Yes, yes.
Trying to seize it.
And so this footage, played, and then the anchors in the newsroom were like, in 10 years, this is going to be so normal. We'll look back at this tape and be like, how cute,
That she was scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the autonomous driving vehicles, all that kind of stuff. But the biomimicry aspect of where, robots are heading towards freaks me out. Because, like, this thing of a swarm, like, think about what swarms do. Mm-hmm. Like, is that ever a good thing?
You give up a little bit of yourself and go along with the crowd.
Yeah, but, I mean, as swarms in nature, like, a swarm of bees, not a good thing for me as a person. Swarm of ants, a swarm of anything, like, is generally a bad idea, I feel like, for humans.
Yes.
So we'll see. I don't know where a swarm has been used to help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. There is no good swarm.
I don't think there's a good swarm of anything. It has negative connotations for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. All right. What do you have?
So we have listener mail.
Yay. Oh, if you would like to interact with us via social media, we are at Hey You Know It on Twitter. And you can always email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We will not tell people who you are. We will not keep your email address or sell it to anybody. Frankly, nobody would want it from us. And we'll read it anonymously on the air. Yeah,
they want it, but what are we going to do?
Yeah, here's one address where we get like 1.001 Bitcoin.
Yeah. Right. So this is from Katrina G. Hey, Katrina.
Yes. Thank you for sending stuff.
Yes. So she sent an email with some other Barnyard news several shows ago. And this one is related to Tales from the Campfire, she writes.
Nice.
She's like, here's a bit related to Tales from the Campfire. The Canadian ambassador to Ireland thinks his house is haunted.
Wow. Okay. So we're going into Tales from Dirt Campfire / listener news. Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, of ghost stories, fake lore, folklore.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So, and courtesy of Katrina G, gather around.
Gather around, listeners. Okay. Something strange is going on at Canada's embassy in Dublin. Ken Vickers says it's a ghost.
Okay. Right.
The question then becomes if the ghost of an Irish Republican hero has visited Glanmire, is he haunting the house or is he haunting the ambassador, Kevin Vickers?
That sounds like if a train leaves.
Yeah.
You know, at 200 miles per hour.
So
who's haunted? Mr. Vickers?
Mr. Vickers, Kevin Vickers, or is Canada's ambassador to Ireland.
Or the place.
He started hearing strange sounds at his official residence in Dublin. Lying in his bedroom, he heard labored breathing and footsteps coming up the stairs. He checked and no one was there.
Nice.
Watching television, he heard a chain hit the floor in the dining room. Again, he checked and nothing was there.
Okay, that's weird because who has a chain?
Nobody has chains these days.
And this, yeah, no one has chains anymore. That's what's wrong with society. Yeah. What happened to chains?
Right. There are really no chains.
No chains. I'm trying to think when I would have a chain.
I have a chain belt.
I guess you could throw that to the floor, like with a lot of force, but still. Well, I don't have any chains.
The peculiarities at the Glanmire house, it seems, have gotten to the point that a maid often refused to venture upstairs.
Really?
Yeah. And he wrote in...
And he has to clean it himself
Kevin
now.
Kevin Vickers wrote in a Facebook post.
Really?
Yeah. I never believed in ghosts until I arrived here.
He's a diplomat?
He wondered if the ghost who walks the halls of this residence was Patrick Pierce, one of the architects of the 1960 Easter Rising that preluded Ireland's independence.
Oh, yeah. Why would he think that, though? That's very...
Because he learned that Vickers learned he lived in the Glanmire house in the early 20th century.
But surely other people live there as well.
But at least one other ambassador to live in the Handsome Manor on Oakley Road says he never noticed any supernatural presence.
He's like, I didn't see shit. I don't know what he's talking about.
Nor did the realtor who sold it in 2005.
It wasn't me.
So the question becomes, if the ghost of an Irish Republican has visited Glanmire, is he haunting the house or is he haunting this guy?
What do you think? Is he haunting the... So no one else has seen it. There's no... I mean, this is in Dublin. Mm-hmm. So Dublin is rife with, you know, haunted residences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not something that people try to hide there. It's actually something people play up.
Yes.
Right?
And also, I think in Ireland, even outside areas are haunted, like a woods or patch of grass is haunted.
So if no one said anything about this place, either it's a new haunting or the dude is haunted.
Mm-hmm. But has the question, I'd interview him to say, hey, have you felt this way before anywhere else?
Have other architects of other homes that you stayed in come to you? Chains.
Yeah.
Waving.
Yeah, so clanging. Other people have said, you're losing a run of yourself altogether. Stay off the brandy.
What? Stay off the brandy specifically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he doesn't know. He said, I've had people come in here and start crying when they.
That could be him again. Again, that sounds like a personal problem. Right? I don't know. That hasn't happened to me before, or anyone I know.
Actually, I read that.
Oh, you read it incorrectly.
I read it out of context.
Okay, I'm like, it sounds like that dude is haunted.
Because he wanted all the documents. He brought up all the documents, like who has lived here, who he wanted to do a little research on the house.
Okay.
And
tied into crying somehow.
He found the original lease proving Pierce had, in fact, lived in the house. And he had...
No one's disputing that, though.
And he had it framed and put on display. Mm-hmm. And that's where people came in and started crying when they saw the framed picture of the lease.
Why?
I don't know.
What is something either frightening about that or it makes them sad? A framed lease?
I think this is something that... I don't know what's going on here.
I mean, I feel like if you think that either you are haunted or the place you're staying in is haunted... Yeah. Maybe don't put that up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you sound like now you're antagonizing this ghost, right? Are you putting him on notice?
Yeah. Other people say this guy's overreacting. Other people think it could be. So
overreacting? What's an appropriate reaction?
Well, I think, all right, if there was no other activity and then this guy
shows up, as it were, as he calls himself.
Vickers is the... Yes. Pierce is the ghost.
Yeah. And Vickers is the haunty.
Yes.
I guess we have a haunter and a haunty.
So it must be some kind of connection where one has stimulated the other.
Well, I'm wondering, like, okay, maybe, I hope there's more to this story later.
And that's a new kind of haunting I call a stimulated haunting.
A stimulated haunting? Haunting?
That's like when the ghost doesn't even want to show up and then you come in and they're
and
like,
and you provoke them. It's like, now I have to haunt.
Yeah.
I have no choice but to haunt this mofo.
I prefer to stay in this other dimension.
Yeah, but now here I come to settle this up. I'd like to know if in the future the haunting becomes more, I don't know, like more and different things happen. Because so far he's heard some chains. Mm-hmm. And what was the other piece of evidence that he had for his haunting?
Chains and...
just chains?
No, there was more than that. He heard labored breathing and footsteps.
Okay, so he heard labored breathing, footsteps, and there was also this chain situation.
Yeah.
That's it so far.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there's more because now the maid won't go up there.
Well, there may be other reasons for that as well. He's a pig.
Yeah. Like,
no one's...
himself.
Yeah. Oh, that brandy. The place is strewn with empty brandy bottles.
Yeah.
To say the least.
So, well, it's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
I want to hear more, too.
What's going on with
this? Okay, thank you, Katrina G. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm reporting on Hello Kitty, because everyone knows I love Hello Kitty.
Sweet.
It's one of my favorites. And I also love gummy bears, mm-hmm. and I like booze. So this is a company that I just discovered called Sugarfina. I'm probably the last person to find out about them. I'm not big into candy, and I know it's there's a store called Sugar. It's mm-hmm. Sugar. Like, this is a huge thing now, all these, like, high-end candy stores. But last summer, Sugarfina had a rosé-flavored gummy bears. No one told us.
No one said anything.
I'm going to try to see if I can track some down.
Are you kidding me? I've heard so much about rosé over the summer.
Yes,
not about these gummy bears.
Rosé-flavored gummy bears. They do trendy candy. At one point, there was a waiting list of 700 people to try to get these damn rosé-flavored gummy bears.
Hmm.
So they have also had tequila candies. I saw some brandy ones, I thought, too, on their website, and they have green juice gummies. It's like a cleanse gummy bear.
No,
why?
No.
Why? So after weeks of talking about this, I guess on their social media, on their website, they are finally releasing a collaborative effort with Sanrio, the makers of Hello Kitty, to bring us Hello Kitty gummy bears.
Nice.
I cannot wait. They come out tomorrow. I will be getting them tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a brand new candy collection. There's a candy bento box, candy cubes. And I looked online. These things must cost a fortune because they sell them in cubes that are like 3x3.
Wow.
There's only like, looks like 25 gummy bears in there.
Wow.
So maybe they're super high end. I don't know. They're handmade. I don't know what's
going
on.
They must have detailing on them like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Like you can see the expressions.
Yeah.
On each. Some of them look quizzical. I don't know. Whatever. So they're going to be strawberry flavored gummy bears shaped like the Hello Kitty bow. An apple-flavored gummy bear shaped like Hello Kitty's face.
Oh, nice.
I cannot wait. So this is from Sugarfina. In addition to Hello Kitty candies, for those of you who like the other characters, There's Karapi Donut Pond Jelly Beans. Gudetama Lazy Gummy Eggs. Gudetama is this character. It's a lazy egg. Yeah. My Melody Sweet Chocolate Pearls. Choco Cat Chocolate Sea Salt Caramels. And then Bots Maru Mischievous Chocolate Pops.
Mischievous Chocolate
Pops. You know, for the angry penguin. Looks like he's been on the streets.
Okay.
Bots Maru. And there will be some packaging to go along with them. I love this kind of stuff because I love Hello Kitty. I have a lot of Hello Kitty stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to have some Hello Kitty stuff that I can consume because I'm running out of space.
Okay, because you don't want to be yes. like a shrine, have a shrine to Hello it's, Kitty.
Yeah, my thing with Hello Kitty is I love Hello Kitty stuff, but it has to be small so that my bedroom doesn't look like a small girl's room. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you like something that's like cute and childlike, you know, it's like keep it small.
Yes. Right. Yes, yes.
So Hello Kitty people who are into Hello Kitty, you know, look for that at Sugarfina because I will be.
Okay. Look out for Jaquetta.
Yes. Look out for me.
And get out of her way.
Yeah, literally. Because... Don't be in my way. I will push you to the side.
Right.
For both the rosé gummy bears and the Hello Kitty gummy bears. Yeah. I have a feeling that they're going to like sell out right away. You know.
Can you just order them online?
I mean, you can, but I can't wait. I can't wait. I don't want to pay the shipping. They're already, I guarantee you, I didn't look at the prices, but I guarantee you they're already more than I want to pay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And on top of that, the shipping? No. Yes. I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. But feel free to get me some.
Okay. Some Jaquetta.
And ship them to me.
Yes.
If you feel the need to. Yes. All right. What do you have?
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
I have 10 small habits that help you age well.
Small? Okay.
Small habits.
These are 10 small habits. They better be fucking tiny. Like, I'm not having it.
By Margaret M.
Okay.
All right. So, she starts off by saying it's easy to feel confused by all the healthy aging advice out
there.
It
is. I ignore that stuff. Katie and I are women of a certain age.
Yeah.
And I don't, the anti-aging stuff, I don't believe it exists. Yeah, you can't anti-age.
You can't, you realize that it comes at you from all sides.
And it comes at you fast.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This is, anyway.
The best thing we can do, I think, at our age is just dim the lights. And make sure everyone has a healthy serving of wine.
And that's it.
That's
my strategy.
That's how I smear Vaseline on the lens in reality.
Yeah.
Dim lighting, booze.
Right.
You know.
But the kind of thing here, wine is good for you, wine is bad for you. Take calcium supplements. Don't.
Wine is good for you. That's settled.
Yeah. So the experts, everything changes from day to day.
Yeah, because they got to sell you different stuff.
Yeah. So what are the simple things you can really do and depend on that are going to keep you healthy?
Okay.
All right.
Cryogenics? No.
But then there's more work and you're involving other people here. Because they say, if you want to stop smoking, cut down on the drinking. No thanks.
Lose
weight, train for a 5K race, eat a healthier diet.
Am I not past training for a race at this point? I'm over 40, people. Can I stop with the race?
I know.
It's not going to happen.
If you don't have to totally revamp your lifestyle overnight.
Good, because I'm not going to.
But
I'm oppositional to this woman.
They say, okay, and then there's even more here. If you explore the 10 habits below, don't be afraid to ask for help or support. Find a friend to serve as your accountability partner.
From whom? Oh, I'm supposed to take you to task? All right, let's have it.
I can't, you know what?
That's not the kind of friendship I want to have.
Why are you giving somebody else this whole thing of work to do?
Yeah. Now I got to work because you want to do a 5K?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
All right. So that's
I'll
one
cheer
thing
you on at the end.
Yes,
I'll be. Is someone waving a bottle of rosé? Yeah, that's me.
Right.
Okay. I'm helping a sister out.
Okay. So 10 small habits that can help you age healthfully.
Okay. Healthfully. Gracefully?
Gracefully and in a healthy way.
I'm going to age raging.
One is make walking a daily ritual.
I can't stop doing it. I have to get places.
Yeah, say 30 minutes a day.
This is the suburbs.
Have to do it. Yeah, so we do it. So done.
Yeah, we're done. Good. Good. I feel younger already.
We do that in New York.
Hell, I'm 39 now.
Give yourself reasons to smile.
You give me a reason to smile.
Do you know it feels better to smile than it does to frown?
I've been hearing that my whole life, and to those people I say, go F yourself.
Smiling helps release good...
That makes me smile.
Feel good chemicals and improve our mood and our health.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what makes you smile. Do you love looking at photo albums of your family and friends? No.
No.
There are certain places in town that make you feel good. Yeah, bar.
Yeah, the bar. That's a... Come on, lady.
Don't worry about wasting time.
I don't at the bar. That's not a waste of time.
Smiling is serious stuff. Take that time every day to do things that make you smile. Your body and brain love it.
Yeah, they say when you smile, your body doesn't know. But I try that shit, like, when I...
Your body doesn't know?
That you're unhappy.
Okay.
So, like, I've tried it in times when I've been in pain, and I just look like a grimace. That's what happens.
I have such a bad resting bitchy face, and then when I smile, it's now turned into a grimace. So I'm like...
just frightening people.
People like,
she's about to come at
she's
you.
She's creepy looking.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know. I know. Just guess what?
That's how it is.
You're just going to have to get used to it.
This is my smile. Right?
I look like a clown without the makeup. Yes. And I do have makeup on. But that's what I look like. And that's, I'm going
to
kill you.
Yeah, you're forced to smile because it's your job.
Yeah, it looks like I'm going to come out of the sewer and yes. bite off your arm.
Yes.
But I'm not.
But I'm not.
I just look like
it. Just looks like it.
So don't worry.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't have any crow's feet, though, so that was a plus.
How do you make that clown It scarier?
I don't know.
More crow's
so
feet.
Katie and I went to see It during the day.
Yes, because we had to.
The first weekend after it came out. And I was scared during it. I had my one ear closed, as I usually do with my hand.
You do.
And I was occasionally, like, squinting.
Yes.
And it was very scary during, but afterwards I wasn't scared. I haven't had a bad dream about it.
Me too. I think that's the key. You have to see it, during the day with somebody. I had my fists up at my cheeks.
Yes.
The rest of the time.
I know that was your defense. Mine was one finger closing my left ear and squinting is how I defend myself from being scared. The clown was scary looking.
Was very scary.
What was scary besides the, you know, the high forehead was the drooling. I felt that was really scary. And the bunny teeth.
The bunny teeth.
Were very scary.
Bunny teeth.
Yeah, he had like two prominent front teeth.
Oh, right. And the rest of them were sharpened. But I honestly, a very good job, Alexander Sarsgaard.
They're all really good.
They're all good. All that entire family.
The children were good in this as well. I think it was really good acting.
Yes, all the way through. But Tim Curry's It is
still scarier.
Supreme.
Still scarier.
I watched a clip of him taking a bite out of something. He is so good, Tim Curry. You could see it in his eyes. Like his interpretation, what he was bringing to this biting down on somebody. It was like this glee.
It's much scarier. Also, it wasn't CG, if I remember. So that the computer generation sometimes takes away a lot of the thrill for me because I know it's too slick and I know it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was taking bites out of things in the more recent it was creepy. Mm-hmm. But seeing Tim Curry do it, you're like, it looks like he's actually doing it.
Yeah.
Like he's really, you know, taking a bite out of a action.
Right.
As it were. Okay.
All right, so that's...
And the clown looked young is our point.
The clown was young. Yes. Great skin.
Yeah. Great skin. All of it. All 10 feet ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So speaking of taking bites out of things, one of the other things you can do to stay healthy is have healthy eating habits.
Really? I've never heard this before.
Yeah. Look for luxury health foods that you can make yourself. For example.
What? Luxury health foods?
Well, first of all, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
They say you have to discipline yourself and have control, which is just...
Yeah.
Crap.
It also says get some money because the next thing it talks about is luxury.
A luxury
purchase.
And so don't go buying cookies and then expect yourself to show discipline by eating one a day. Just don't have them in your house.
Excuse me? One cookie?
Yeah.
A day?
Yeah.
why bother?
Yeah.
Don't eat any cookies.
Yeah.
Forget exactly. It.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Another trick is to hide all the big plates in your house. By
I know where they are.
I know.
I mean, really? Hide the big, what is that, like the serving platters? Because that's how I get down.
They're like, by eating from small plates, you'll naturally reduce your portion size.
I like a plate so big I have to carry it with both hands, or I have to carry it over my shoulder like a waiter.
Yeah.
I like a plate so big that when I come to my table, I have to open up the little stand.
Yeah, right. You have to put the leaf in the center.
Yeah.
And then they say luxury health foods you can make yourself. For example, I love sushi.
But
there's no way I would pay for it every day. So I found a local fish store that sells sashimi.
And then you're going to make it yourself?
Sashimi.
I can't say that word.
You know.
Yes.
Raw fish.
Raw fish.
For much less than I expected to pay. Instead of buying sushi, I make my own from dried seaweed, rice, and salmon. Ew.
Really?
Don't
yourself?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. And I don't think that my skill or my kitchen is clean enough for me to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to take classes in that.
Yeah. You have to know what you're doing. I'm sure. But I would be like, you know what? Instead of making the sushi, I'm just going to have some of this raw fish next to some rice, next to some of the seaweed. That's it.
And sometimes when I try to prepare food, I get so turned off by food that I don't want to eat it.
Because you've been working with it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been worked over.
Another tip here is to find fun activities that make you move.
Mm-hmm. The gym, being chased by a bear.
How about tennis? How about a running partner?
How about it?
How about it?
How about a running partner? Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's the last. I think if we tried to be running partners, I'd be like, look.
There's a bar.
Yep. There's a bar.
I don't feel like it.
I'd be like, man, you're not even wearing running shoes. Like, me neither.
We're supposed to be wearing heels.
Yeah.
And then,
just all black.
And then just a quick story about how I didn't sleep well last night. So I'm really tired.
Yes. And could we just freshen up first?
Let's
a happy hour. Who knew?
Oh, look, I've been meaning to try this place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing
to do is spend time with positive people.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, sure. Do they want to spend time with us?
Yeah, I know. That's the question. Socializing helps us stay emotionally and physically healthy. It's important to make new friends, eliminate toxic connections, and find regular social activities that get you out of the house. I do agree. Got to get out of the house.
Yes, you cannot stay in your place.
Because we're more and more, like, even in the suburbs or even in New York, staying in the apartment. Mm-hmm. Everything is there. Get out.
The more comfortable, the longer you live in your apartment, the more comfortable you make it, mm-hmm. the harder it is. I feel like to get out, regardless of whether you own or rent. You know what I mean? When you're in a place for a really long time, you've got it set up the way that you want it.
Yeah.
You have everything there so that if you can't get out for some reason, you're fine.
Yeah. And then you end up having a little vortex of negativity sitting there on your
couch. It happens sometimes on the weekends that I'm like, you're so exhausted Friday, you get home, you're like, I'm not leaving unless I'm forced out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, find anybody.
Yeah.
Either positive or
just
not.
Just yell out the street. Yeah, you know, you look happy. Let's go for a run.
Yeah, but you don't say no to every single thing. Say yes to something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll do that. I always, and it's a very New York thing to say yes to stuff, and then 2 seconds later you'd be like, oh man, I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
Maybe something else will come up.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't feel well.
Yeah.
There's always that to look forward to.
Right. Another thing, learn to meditate. You'll be calmer and more centered.
Yeah.
It's true.
If you can, sure.
People say they meditate. Doesn't mean they're doing it perfectly.
No.
They're just doing
You're supposed to try to do it.
Yeah.
There's a thing in the city now where you can pay to join these clubs where you go and meditate. Basically, some genius has a room.
Yeah.
Paints it purple, puts a gong in there, and then charges you $30 an hour to go in there and sit with a bunch of other people who can't meditate either.
Yeah. Right. And all being quiet together.
Yes. You know me. I start looking around and making up stories about people.
We were laughing. I was in yoga and it was so quiet in there. And at the end, this one guy, never seen before, is like, can you believe that person walked in and walked so close to me? And he was all bent out of shape because somebody walked too close to his mat.
What do you mean?
Like, well, you know when the class starts and everybody is setting up, you have to walk by other people.
I don't understand. Like, so what did he think this guy was going to do? This person was going to do?
I don't know. And we just sat there looking at him like, that's what you got to
do. I would have been like, sir, please leave.
Yeah.
That is not in the spirit of a yoga class.
Yeah, yeah. And he
basically said, you're on your mat. So unless you're on my mat with me, we're not too close to each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a yoga class. Focus on your shit, man.
Yeah. And then he left the class and he found the woman.
He had a word?
And had a word. And came back and told us that he had a word. And was like, she was from another country. Can you believe it? Other people being so rude from other countries.
Again.
I was like, ooh.
Again. Not. What was he doing in the yoga class? He needs something else.
Yeah.
Is there a class where someone could just kick him in the balls repeatedly? Until he gets some damn sense. Where's that class? I'd be like, that class down the hall. This is where you go. You get kicked right in the avocados.
Okay. Yeah. Here's another thing. Forgive yourself and others.
Okay. Oh, I'll forgive myself.
Yeah.
I draw the line at others, though. I don't do forgiveness. I'm sorry. Anyone who knows me knows I don't forgive very easily, if at all.
If after many years on this planet, you certainly have regrets, and that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sit there with your dark thoughts and...
I like my dark thoughts.
And about the past, because it prevents you from living fully in the present and planning the future.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they say. But I like to hold on to a grudge like a mofo. I don't care. That sometimes keeps me going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I'm like, I'll see you again. And when I do.
You do. Guess
yeah,
what?
That's right. You better hope you see me first.
Can't wait. You know, inevitably.
We're going to live forever with that attitude. I feel younger already.
This person writes that one technique I use is to write down my regrets and lock them away.
Huh? Lock them away where?
Oh, that's even worse.
Yes. Don't write that shit down. It could come alive.
Yeah.
You know what? She'll write it down and lock it away, and then she'll go open it up and be like, there's nothing here. What happened? Those regrets are out.
Wow. Yep.
Don't write them down.
Right? And they took on a life of their own.
They took on a life of their own.
You're like a doll that crawls out of the garbage.
Exactly. They probably jumped right into the nearest doll.
Yeah. Another thing to do, spend time in nature.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, go outside.
Yeah, I think, Deepak Chopra wrote in his book that you're supposed to go out and even just smell a flower or touch a plant.
How much did that cost? I'm sorry, I got issues with him.
I know.
I think all his stuff should be free.
Yes.
Right? If he's so into it.
He teamed up with Oprah, and they're doing like this 21-day meditation. I was like, oh, that sounds nice, but she starts off each meditation. I can't meditate with Oprah telling
two
me to breathe.
Two words, snake oil.
Yeah.
I'm just like, really? Was there something to buy?
Afterwards, it was like, why don't you join our thing?
Yeah, get this oil.
Learn to laugh more. Laughter is the best medicine.
Go to a show. Don't count on yourself. Go to professionals. Go see an improv show at the Magnet. People who know how to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Don't leave it to yourself.
Yes. Go see a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're for. That's their job.
Yes. And find simple ways to manage stress. People always are stressed out and talk about being stressed out, but you got to manage it in some kind of way.
Yeah. Have a drink. Beat off. Whatever. Do your thing. whatever helps you to relax. Run that marathon. Get a foot rub.
Well, they're saying don't do the smoking and drinking thing. But we do.
Some people relax that way.
Yeah. That's what I say.
Yeah. Whatever helps you to relax, as long as you don't go crazy.
Right. Because some people
often
eat, some people.
As long as you don't go crazy with it often.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you got to.
Sometimes you just got to cut loose.
One of the problems in our society with addressing that is like, yeah, once a year we should just have like a go for it. Mm-hmm. A go for it day where it's like, fine, do your thing. Do it in excess. Do it once a year. Yeah. Get it out of your system. Because sometimes you get really, really stressed out. And this sitting in a room with a gong and, and smiling and thinking happy thoughts and trying to get your friend to go for a run with you, it's not going to do it. Sometimes you just need to go for it.
Go and do shots.
Yes. Sometimes. Or whatever your thing is.
Whatever it is.
You know?
Right. But the thing is, you should have an arsenal of things to do.
Yes. And you say, we use
not
the word arsenal because we're going to attack stress. We're going to kill stress dead. That's how we do it.
We're going to put stress's head on a pike.
That's right.
Parade it around town.
Stress, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas.
Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.